Well, today we're going to move into our final portion as we look at the threefold proof following in our sermon series in our Master's Outlines of the Bible in the New Birth. And I was really kind of amazed because as a pastor and teacher, you often wonder if God gave you something that He hasn't given anybody else and, you know, kind of make you special, okay? And the answer to that is no. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, if it's something new, be afraid of it, very afraid of it. It's probably one of those traps, all right? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and we need to remember that, all right? Now, there may be some new things that we're going to learn as we go, but they've been there for a long time, all right? The full revelation of God has been given. There's no new revelation coming out. It's our understanding that changes. So today, as we go into this, I was so amazed because this threefold proof, I was like, oh, I wonder if it's the three things that I know and have taught. And it isn't. But they're so close that I'm claiming them, all right? And I'm going to teach it from their perspective with mine mixed in. And you'll see what I mean as we go through. Because again, I want us to understand this as it's written in the book. Because, you know, several of you have the little red book, the Master Outlines, and you understand that this is truly biblical reality. And the first portion of the proof, the threefold proof of the new birth, is this. And it's so simple. It's called an inward proof. Okay? I call it inreach. Okay? They called it an inward proof. I call it inreach. Because you all know me, you've all been with me for many years now, and I look at ministry. Ministry happens in three different ways, in three forms. There is a threefold entity that happens in you, in the church, in the world, in every aspect of ministry. There is a trifecta. Huh, I wonder why we have a triune God, okay? And He does everything in threes, all right? And when I look at inreach, when I look at this inwardness, we came together and both theologies connected 100%. I want you to turn to 1 John in the 5th chapter. 1 John in the 5th chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. 1 John in the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Because this first proof, and this is something, if you're in Christ, okay, these three things will be in you. These three things are going to be part of your life. If they're missing, you're missing something, all right? And you need to search God and see just where you really are. Because there's a lot of people, and I'm going to say this, and you know, I hope the folks on the internet hear this and understand this too, because it stands for all of us. There are a lot of people who come to church who do not possess true salvation because they do not manifest the trifecta, all right? And you're all thinking, well, who are you to say that? I'm nobody. But God's Word is Jesus Christ, and He says it, all right? And I have to submit to it. So when we read these words, let us find the truth of God. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but with water and blood. and it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which was given about his Son. Anyone who believes in his Son of God has this testimony in his heart, inwardly. Okay? Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Let me say that again. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may guess, no, that you may know that you have eternal life. The first reality is in reach. It's an inward thing, because it's a transformation of the person. It is a reality that sets within our being, and from it comes faith. From it comes the believing reality that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God because he is the second person of the Trinity. You know, I am so amazed that when I grew up in my former denomination as a child, they would not say that Jesus Christ was God. They would say, no, he's the Son of God. But God the Father is God. He's just Jesus the Son. And here I am as a 12-year-old saying, yeah, but Jesus says he's God. Oh, no, Jesus never said he was God. Yes, Jesus did say he was God. He said the Father and I are two separate individuals. No, he said the Father and I are one. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's God's name. So there's a controversy that has to happen within our being, because there has to be this inward change that all of a sudden we begin to know, believe, receive, and by faith walk in accordance to an inward change. That we know this man who died just wasn't a man that went up on a cross, because there was a thief beside him and there was a robber or a murderer beside him, right? And neither one of them has ever saved a life. The only one through whom salvation comes is the man in the middle, who was Jesus Christ our Lord. And it so amazed me, because when you think about those two men on the cross beside him, one received him before his death, the other rejected him. And right there it is, the crux between heaven and hell. Believe and receive, deny and die. And that's an inward reality. That is God reaching into you and making himself known to you. That's why I call it in reach, because it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with God in you, because God is reaching into you. You are opening yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. That's why it says the three testify. Because without the three, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, there is no truth. But in the Spirit, washed with the water and covered in the blood, we find ourselves what? Walking in salvation. Walking in the reality of God. And it so amazes me, because so many people come to that reality, that first proof, and stop and never go any further. Where do you think that leaves them? Because have they obeyed? Didn't we just read here where it says that if you love him, you obey what he's commanded? Isn't that so amazing? Well, yeah, but I believed. And it just says I have to believe. That's all it says. Is that right? Is that how you want to read it? Because that's not the truth. You see, this is one of the things I like about the Bible. People tell me, yeah, but well, I've read some of the Bible. Oh, that's wonderful. So you have some truth. Some truth with a bunch of lies is still lies. If you want the truth, you have to read the whole book and believe the whole book. You and I don't get to pick and choose what we believe because God tells us who He is and what He does. Okay? How many of us like living in the United States where it's a democracy and we get to choose? How many of you got to choose when Obamacare came into being? Well, you got to choose your carrier, but not whether you could refuse it or not. Unless you want to pay a fine, of course. How democratic is that? Isn't it wonderful? There is no such thing as a democracy anywhere. And God tells us who He is and asks us to believe, to receive, and follow Him because His way leads to life. And He knows we can't choose because if we choose, what happens to us? We just talked about this with the children. Life is filled with traps, all of them set by Satan. All the nice little baubles out there. How many of us, you know, when we see the Sunday paper come, get all excited, ooh, the sale flyers. I got this great big advertisement in the mail this week. It was a 3-foot folder that you open up, and it was like a giant lottery card. You know, one of them scratch-off kind? It said $25,000 lottery. My wife scratched it off. She said, oh, you won $1,000, but it's over today, so you got to go now if you want to get it. And I'm just like, yeah, really? Yeah. Yep. Tell me there wasn't a snap on the end of that one. Oh, folks. When we allow God into our hearts, when we open up and begin that process, the inward reality, the change that happens, and it's the true change for those of us who are truly opening our hearts to Him and being moved by Him, this is where the transformation begins that we sung about earlier today, about accepting people where they are, because when we accept people where they are, they're willing to come in and see what this is all about. And I'll tell you right now, and I mean this with all my heart, I pray that the day comes when we have some of the strangest people in all of Lebanon County walking in these doors. Because I'll tell you what, right now, we have some of the strangest people in all of Lebanon County coming in these doors. And as we accept them as God has accepted us, because I'll tell you right now, if you all want to think about it and be honest and real with yourselves, you all know where you came from. You all know who you were and the things you did. And God loved you right to where you are, didn't He? Hasn't He? Isn't He? Aren't you grateful that that never ended? It doesn't end. It continues on and on and on as you continue on and on with Him. And it's so amazing because you're never the same again. When you begin to allow that inward work, that inreach of God, touch your heart, truly touch your heart. And didn't it say that in the scripture that we read, that it's in our heart? When you truly allow Him to touch your heart and change your heart, all of a sudden you begin to not be afraid to be vulnerable, to be real, to be transparent. Because you're not afraid to show people your warts, okay? You don't have to stand in front of the mirror for 3 hours and put on all that plastic mask makeup and plaster yourself in there and you know, put that mask on. I'm talking spiritually, ladies. If you take 2 hours, that's wonderful. You look beautiful today. If you're a guy and it takes that long, we need to talk. But God has a way of reaching into us and truly changing us in a reality that we are no longer the same because we cannot continue in the things that we were continuing in. The temptations that were there no longer attract to us. Now that doesn't mean there won't be new ones to come as we go down that road. And it doesn't mean that we won't get drug away because, hey, let's all face it, there are times in our faith where things kind of seem like, oh, well, we're doing good. Oh, la-di-da. And we're just kind of bebopping along because, man, there ain't no problems. Well, if there ain't no problems, you ain't doing something right. Okay? because Satan is out there like a lion, and he is looking for whom he can devour. And I tell people this all the time. If Satan's not coming against you, he's using you. Somewhere along the line, he's using you. But when we have that inward change, all of a sudden, sometimes things in life can seem to get a little rough around the edges. And that's all right. Let them rough around the edges, because God loves people who live in the fringe. Okay? The fringe of His love, the fringe of His caring. And if you're a Hebrew, you know what that means, because it's the tassels, the fringe. Those are the prayers of the people. All right? When we look at the Hebrew culture, the tassels, the fringes on the sides of the garments, that represented the prayers of the people, the desires of the people to become part of the whole fabric, to be drawn in, to be taken up, to be changed. And that's where you and I need to be. We need to have that reality, that inward focus of God, not ourselves. The inward focus of God and us responding to it. That's in reach. That is an inward change. The second proof that we find is called outgoing. Okay? They call it outgoing. I call it outreach. I call it outreach. Because once God has made the in reach, all of a sudden what's in us can't stay there. He's put so much in us, we got to do something with it. And we begin to reach out to other people. We begin to grab, oh man, you won't believe what happened to me. And people think you're nuts. Your family's like, man, he got religion. Did you see him? He's crazy. Yeah. God loves a religious nut. No, God loves spiritual people. God loves those who are touched by His grace, all right? There's all kinds of religious nuts out there. But God wants people who are dedicated. God wants people who are committed to Him. Okay? The world may call us nuts, and that's okay. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, right? And I'm surrounded by peculiar people. And if you don't think you are, I'll show you where you're a peculiar people. All right? And I mean that in a pure sense. I'm not being smart there, all right? I'm not being silly. Because in the body of Christ, we care to the point where we give beyond our means. And that's what this outreach is talking about. Open your Bibles, if you would. We're just going to go back one chapter. We're going to go back to chapter 4 of 1 John, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 21. Verses 7 through 21. And this is beautiful. It's entitled in my Bible, God's Love and Ours, okay? And this is just a portion. I could preach on each one of these aspects for weeks and weeks and weeks, but I need to touch on all three of them today so we can get through and move forward. So from the 7th verse of the 4th chapter, we read these words. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Dear brothers and sisters, as we see that reality, it does pull itself through from the inreach of God that we have to reach out to others. Every place you see it in the Scripture where a person was converted, where a true conversion took place, what was the very first thing that they started to do? They began to witness. They began to evangelize. They began to take the word out and teach and preach. And it's so amazing because in our world today, we're being told as Christians and we're being told through other religions and other places that we're not allowed to speak the word of truth to people. And it's so amazing because Satan knows how effective the true witness of God is. Because it's the power of God in us to reach another hurt, broken spirit. Because how many of us came to the Lord when everything was just so hunky-dory and nothing was wrong? Now, some of us did, okay? I know there are people here in this church who grew up in faith and walked in it all the days of their lives and have chosen to live that way. And God bless you. You have an awesome testimony. Because in you, and I think it's so funny because people, you know, we hear these people, oh, I was in drugs and I was this and I was that and God pulled me out of it. And you have people who have lived in Christ all their lives. They come up and say, oh man, you have such a wonderful testimony. No, that's pathetic. They had a pathetic life. They had a dramatic change. You who lived in the love of the Lord, were raised up in the household of faith, you have an awesome testimony. You have a testimony that speaks of God's sustaining love and holding love that never allowed you because you chose Him from such a young age that He has protected you, that He has hemmed you in. You have seen the promises of God so fulfilled that your testimony is awesome. And you need to be speaking it. And those of us too who have walked in this world and God has wrought us out of the world and into His kingdom, we too need to speak it. We need to take that message out to others, to love others more than we love ourselves, to give everything that God has given unto us away. You know, and there's a lot of you who are saying, wait a minute, you know, my 401k is for my retirement. That's fine. That's fine. You know, let's be real. Let's be honest. We have to live. For some reason here in the United States, we think once we hit 65, we get to quit. Do you know that only happens in America? It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. In fact, it doesn't happen so successfully here in America. That's why we have Social Security and all these other programs out there, because people don't work beyond a certain age. I've told you all before, as a minister of the gospel, I will be preaching until I'm 120 years old. Okay? And I'm going to continue saying that until it comes true. Okay? Now, I have no idea when the rapture is going to occur. I don't think I'm going to see that long. But the reality is, I'm going to say that until I see it come true, or God proves me wrong and takes me out of here on the wings of eagles. All right? Because the reality is, I want to give His word. And you all need to understand something. You may retire from your human job. You may retire from your earthly job, but God has said that once you are in Him, once you have allowed that inward change to happen and the outward thing starts going on, guess what? You are a priest. You are a priest because we are a royal priesthood. And guess what? You don't get to retire either. We'll both be at it. We'll all three be at it. We'll all 60 be at it. We'll all 1,000 be at it until the day He calls us to Himself. We are to be taking the Word of God out into this world. I told you all the story about the gentleman that I used to work with when I worked in the machine shop, whom I did not like very much at all. And I was a Christian. And I would say, you know, when I saw him coming, I would kind of turn the other way, and so would he. It was a mutual love-hate respect. But I was a Christian, and I was witnessing to people in the machine shop, and except him, you know, God couldn't save him. God didn't want to save him. You get my point. And one day he comes to me, and he says, "Pastor Rich, you won't believe what happened. My wife and I went on a spiritual weekend. We went away on this retreat, and I accepted the Lord. He really broke me down. I was weeping." He said, "Oh, man, there was such a change in me." He said, "You need to know that this happened." Blah, blah, blah. He wouldn't shut up. And I'm thinking, what? There's God, you wouldn't do that. That's not right. He gets in. And guess who got corrected? Because God said, "If you don't love him, you don't love me." Ooh! He instantly, well, actually it took about 3 days, became my brother. And he and I would sit and talk about Scripture and how God had changed our hearts. And all of a sudden, this man that I hated, loathed, and loathed me, truly became a brother. And that's the outreach that happens. That's what happens when that inward change takes place and you begin. He reached out to me. He started that process. And then I was able to reach back. And as we go out in there to a world, because there's a world out here that is not going to accept our message. All right? I can tell you right now, there is a world out there that is not going to accept our message. But as we reach out, people's lives are going to be changed. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go down below Harrisburg, and I was in a notary's office, and we were waiting on the notary, and his assistant was there, and I'm there with three other people as I'm changing the title on a little boat that I just picked up. And I'm sitting there and we're talking, and these people are Christians. And I asked them, I said, "What do you think about what happened with Planned Parenthood?" And the next thing you know, pastor's in the middle of these poor people preaching a whole sermon. Okay? I got rolling and I didn't realize how much I was going, and I'm going off. And all of a sudden I look, and here's the assistant, and he's just standing there with his eyes wide open, his mouth hanging open, like, "Wow." And I just looked at him and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "You know, I hope you don't mind me speaking truth." I said, "The reality is, you know, to those who are perishing, the truth is an offense. And you know, I don't mean to offend you, but Jesus Christ loves you, and I hope you know that." And he said, "Well, I've never heard anybody, nobody told me about this stuff with Planned Parenthood." I said, "Well, that's because it's not on mainline news. If you want to find it, you're going to have to go on the internet because it's out there. And yes, this woman's going to jail. At least we think she is, you know, if anything really does come of it, et cetera, et cetera." But it was so amazing because here I was speaking with other Christians, not realizing I was reaching out right there in those moments to a person who was not walking in Christ. And I was showing them the reality of the truth, which is a harsh reality, that death is real. And it's right there for each and every individual if you're not in Christ. Now, I have no idea what those seeds are going to do that I planted in that young man. But I trust the Word of God. Because in them I have the promise that His Word will not go forth and return unto him void, but will accomplish the task to which it was sent. And we all know that God's Word is sent for one purpose, for the salvation of souls. If you truly understand the Bible at all, you understand its intent is to reconcile us through Christ to God. And it's my prayer that that is exactly what's going to happen in that young man's life. And it's these are the things that I want you to realize. When you're out there and you're having conversation, you shouldn't be worried about what you're speaking. You should be holding your Christian principles high You should be holding your moral values high. We need to lift high the banner of Christ. Every moment of every day we're out there walking in the world, and love our brothers and sisters right where they are. And they may be in the midst of some pretty ugly muck and mire. But how many of us weren't when Christ reached into our lives and rescued us? Outreach, okay? This outward movement that we have got to tell others. That is a second proof, because the Spirit of God is in us, and the Spirit, this is so amazing. What was the Spirit of God sent for? To convict men of sin. So guess what you're going to be doing when you're discussing things and talking about the Lord? You're going to be convicting your very hearers of sin. How does that sound to you? How many of you like confrontation? If you're a Christian, you better love it. Because whether you want it or not, it's in your lap. But to us, it's not confrontation. To us, it's truth. Because it is the truth of God. That God gave His Son for us. That if we believe by faith and receive His payment on the cross for our sins, that we will have eternal life. That begins that inward process, which then becomes an outward movement. So we have this inreach going on. And then through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's going to testify to the truth, He's going to convict men of sin, this outreach going on. You know, it's an amazing thing, because when we look at the history of the church, we can understand that through some of the things that happened. In Rome, there was a plague that was going on. Right before Nero put the Christians into the lions' pits and what have you, and began putting them into the Colosseum and killing them, etc., etc., all right? A plague went through Rome. The emperor left. Guess who stayed? The Christians. Many of them died. They got the plague by helping treat those who were there. But many who were there lived and made it through because the Christians stayed. And guess what Nero said? Who are these people, these Christians? Why would they do such a thing? Why don't they flee? We can't run in the face of fear. Why? Oh, let's look at our scripture. It says, there is no fear in love, but love drives fear out. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. When we are doing that outreach, it doesn't matter what's going to come back to us, because we don't fear men. We don't fear this world. We don't fear but God. And that fear is not one to be afraid of, but to revere Him, to love Him, to stand in awe of Him. And in that, it leads us to the third and final one. The third and final one. These people, the books that I was looking at, you know, they called it outgoing, okay? They called it outgoing because they had outward and outgoing, and the outgoing had to do with righteousness. But the reality is, righteousness follows from the inreach and the outreach, because we do acts of righteousness in those two. All right? Now, like I said, I'm going to confuse you here, because the third one that they wanted us to see was the fact that we do righteous works. Well, gee, I think outreach is a righteous work, don't you? You know, loving others is a righteous work. So how can doing righteous works be considered the third? Well, this is where I get to show you the third. Because again, they said there's three, and they said, you know, God into us, us loving others, and then doing righteous works. Those are the three that they see. Well, if you have inreach, you're going to do righteous works. If you have outreach, you're going to do righteous works. But there is a third, and it is very important, and it's called upreach. We have inreach, outreach and upreach. Okay? And upreach, my dear brothers and sisters, is the final piece. Because in it we truly know where our hearts are. Open your scriptures, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. Now on this one, because this is so important, because this goes all the way back to the Old Testament, all right? This goes all the way back to the Old Testament. This is one of the first things that God taught us, because this has to do with worship. Okay? All this third piece has to do with true worship. From Romans in the 12th chapter in the first verse, we read these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? So as we are transformed and we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, as worship unto God. Second, turn to Luke chapter 4. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4. Verses 7 through 21. Excuse me, starting in verse 8, I'm sorry. Oh no, yeah, it is Luke 4, 8. Woo, I don't know why I said that. Luke 4 and 8, that's what we want. Luke 4 and 8. Jesus is speaking here to the people. He says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. All right? Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And then the last scripture I want you to turn to is Hebrews 10. Yeah, I know, I got you jumping all over the place. That's good. It'll give you good Bible exercise today. Hebrews chapter 10. You know God drank coffee. You know how I know that? Yeah, Hebrews. I was told He makes beer, but I like to say He makes coffee. Chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the N word. See it? By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with the pure water. That's offering our bodies up, right? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's outreach, right? Okay, am I making this up or am I reading the Word? It's got the inreach. It's got the outreach. So what's next? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Dear brothers and sisters, we are to come together. For what? Worship. We are to come together to worship our living God. That we are to lay ourselves down here on this floor, here in this auditorium, spiritually, to bring all that we are in spirit and in truth and give it to God. because we are His. We are no longer our own. Once we come in to His presence and He comes into us and He begins to work through us, how can we not worship Him? How can we not love Him? How can we not adore Him? How can we not lift His name up, even in the most harsh of situations? We read in the Scriptures where Paul, who was imprisoned with Silas, stood in the prison, no, chained in the prison to the floor, was singing hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord. And God shook that place and shook the doors open and shook their chains off. I'm telling you what kind of shaking took place to take chains off of somebody's hands? If we truly worshiped God with all that we are, what kind of shaking would be going on in our world today? If we really let go, and when I say that, I don't mean get nuts and become holy rollers, you know, running around here like chickens with their heads cut off. I mean truly worshiping God in spirit and truth, where we're letting Him know, Lord, I love You, and nothing in this world is going to make me ever say no to Jesus Christ. I'm reminded today of those 21 Christian young men that we saw last week who were beheaded in Egypt. How many of us would have been on our knees singing praises to God because of what was coming? And I'll guarantee you, they weren't looking at the knife. They were looking at heaven. They were looking at glory, and they were praising God and saying, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Because they knew and they held fast to the truth that inward change made in them and that outward process, because even in their deaths, they were speaking to a world that says, even in death, I will claim Christ and Him alone. When we understand just how important worship is, we will truly begin to have a relationship with God that is unending. People think I'm nuts, all right? My son hates it when we go for long drives because there's no radio playing in my car. Now, you all think, now, wait a minute, Pastor. If there's no radio playing, how can you worship? Do you know how many forms of worship there are? Do you think when Jacob leaned on his staff as an old man that there was music playing? He was leaning on his staff and he was just speaking words of praise and he was probably bebopping back and forth as much as he could as an old man without falling down. And you and I need to be doing the same. Because, man, when I'm in my car and I'm driving, and I got my eyes on the road, all right? There's too much stuff that happens. I got my eyes on the road. But, man, my heart and my mind, I am talking to the Lord. I am praising the Lord. I am singing to the Lord. I swear I cannot get some of the songs we've been singing here of late out of my mind, because all I do is praise the Lord. I'm sitting in front of my computer doing my work. Blessed be the tie that binds. And I'm going. And the whole time it's like, man, this is neat. I'm getting a lot of work done. Holy cow, it's 3:00 in the morning. And if you all think I'm crazy, check out my emails sometime. You'll find out that Pastor is up till 3:00 in the morning doing my work. Because guess what? Y'all ain't calling me at that time of the day. And I get some stuff cranked out. That's why I sleep till 9:00, because I'm going to bed at 3:30. You don't think I'm telling you the truth? Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Yeah, he don't come to bed till 3:30, 4:00 in the morning. And God and I have some wonderful times together. Where do you think these sermons come from? They ain't from me. They're because I spend time with God, worshiping God, lifting Him up in my life. I want to do and be as He wants me to do and be. I want to show Him how much I love Him. Do you know worship is the only place where that counts? You can do nothing in this world that will show God you love Him except worship Him. Because worship is due only unto a deity. And there is only one deity. And he is our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because as we begin to worship God, guess what the Holy Spirit does in us? He begins to worship himself because he enters into our worship. And our worship becomes so complete and so powerful. Because remember, before any of us were created, God was complete. He didn't need us. He worshiped himself. Now that sounds schizophrenic, doesn't it? It's not. Because he's not like us. He doesn't have a human mind. He doesn't have this finite mind. He has an infinite, perfect mind that does not become self-seated. So, you know what I meant by that. Conceited. His mind is perfect. And when he worships himself, he's just simply showing his glory. And when God shows his glory in you, what do you think that's going to do to you? You know, I tell you folks all the time that you gave me white hair. That's a lie. God has given me white hair. Because I swear to you as I live, I have looked into his face. Just as Moses. And I love him so much. Because he has truly shown me who he is. I've never seen him. The scripture's true. No man has ever seen God. All right? I saw Christ a long time ago. When I was 18, but all I saw was a being with, where his face was, it was just bright light, where his hands were, it was bright light, anywhere there would have been flesh, it was just bright light. All I saw was a white-robed body, and he was speaking to me. So to say I saw him, I can't, because all I saw was the glory, because I don't think any of us could truly look in the face of God and live, right? Because of sin in us. But it's so amazing because when we look into that glory, when we do get a glimpse of that glory, just as Moses got a glimpse of that glory, it changes us. And it begins to purify us. And it drives the color out. And our lives are different. We want to give them away. And that's really what it's all about, folks. So today I want you to think about these threefold proofs. Do I have them? Do I possess them? Am I walking in them? And if I'm not, then Lord, help me to find them and to gain them and to give them away. Because as we worship together, do you know how much we strengthen one another? You know, there's a reason why many of you come to this church. You say, oh, you know, the worship is so wonderful. It's so Spirit-filled. That's because it doesn't have anything to do with Miss Sally or myself. It has everything to do with the one we're worshiping. When Miss Sally and I get together, it is so amazing to see the Holy Spirit working in and among us. Because there's three of us in that room, isn't it, Miss Sally? It's not just you and I. There's three of us. And man, it is so amazing to see how the Spirit of God flows and what He does. And then we get here on a Sunday and He does things that we didn't even expect. Why? Because you enter in. And you bring the Spirit of God with you, and it's all added together. Yeah, you know what? We sing some of the old hymns, don't we? You know, how many churches that sing the old hymns are dying churches? We're not a dying church. We're a new church. And yeah, we're going to do some of the contemporary stuff. The videos will be up there because we want to feed everybody. We want everybody to experience worship. We want to be, what, Miss Sally? Intergenerational, so that we are feeding everyone. God said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, or my sheep. All right? Twice we were told to feed. Feed the young ones, feed the old ones, and take care of them as a flock. And that's what we're to do. And when we do that, that's worship. When we come together, and we bring it to God. And how much do you think God loves it when He hears a whole bunch of His sheep out there in the field? Do you ever see those commercials with the screaming goats? Did you ever see them? First time I saw one of them, I flipped out. I thought that was so amazing. I said, man, that can't be real. And then I talked to Russell and he told me it is. So it must be. No, I looked it up on the internet, and they are amazing creatures. Because, you know, how much of that is us? You know, here we are, God's sheep. We're going before Him, and we're just going, ah! And He's loving it. You don't have to have a beautiful voice. All you have to do is have a heart that wants to give. And God will take it. He somehow translates it, you know, runs it through filters until it gets there. It sounds like an angelic choir. And it's added all together with all the other people throughout the world who are worshiping Him as we are worshiping this day. And the kingdom of God is growing. And the peoples of God, we need to understand, if you truly love God, if you truly love the Word, stand in the Word, we are one in Christ. And we are not alone. And we've got to start remembering that and being the people of Christ. Walking in the threefold witness that we know. What did we read? The very first one, it says, I shall tell you these things that you may know. So may we know by the proofs of God. Because folks, God doesn't need the proofs. Who does? We do. So may we stand in those proofs today as we come to a close. May we stand and give our all to God. Gracious Father God, we do give You thanks so wonderfully so. For You have loved us and You have reached into us. And Lord, so many of us are reaching out into the world. And as we come together to worship You, Lord, we find the fullness. And we find that when we're here in that worship, that we're truly rejuvenated. Lord, one of our visitors last week said that he just loved it so much because coming away, he feels rejuvenated. And Lord, what is that? But Your Spirit moving in and among us and filling us and feeding us. As we give ourselves to You, Lord, You give pressed down, shaken out, overflowing more than we could ever hold or contain. So too, Lord, may it be in our lives as we allow You to reach into us and change us, to transform us. As we reach out into the world to bring the lost unto You simply through conversations of Christian character. And as we come together then to worship You in a communal sense and privately, even in our vehicles as we're driving down the road. Father, bless us, we pray, that we may truly be the trifold manifestation of Your love in Jesus' name. And God's children said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.